INS Law. You're speaking with Aaron. How can I help you?
Hi there. I've got a thing that came up on my Facebook thing. It's basically asking if I'd been in foster care or prison between up to 2004, which
yep.
I have been. So basically, I've filled it in and I've been looked, so I've been to give you a call.
Yep, okay, not a problem, sir. I'm just going to get your file up now.
But see, I'm in Scotland. That doesn't make a difference, does it?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. As you can probably tell, we are an English-based law firm, but we are dealing with the Scottish Redress Scheme. We have over, I'd say, about 1,300 clients that we're dealing with.
Yeah, it is because I've been in, I was in foster care when I was younger for 2 years, and I was in, like, when I was 16 years old, I was in the Young Offenders Institution in Scotland, and Pullman Young Offenders.
Yeah,
and locked in prison. So,
okay, and just to clarify, in any of them care settings or young offenders institutions, did you suffer forms of abuse at all, sir?
Well, are you talking, what kind of abuse are you talking? Just abuse in general, or is it sexual abuse or mental abuse?
Yep, so the four types of abuse that this scheme look at is neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse.
Yeah, well, no sexual abuse, I didn't get any sexual abuse, but like mental abuse, yeah, and physical abuse, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What I'll do for you then, sir, obviously whilst I've got you on the phone, is I can go through the inquiry and the application process with you. And then by the end of the call, I'll send you some documents out to sign on your phone. Takes about 2 minutes to do, and then once they're back to myself, I can send your application off to the Scottish Redress Scheme in order to obtain an application number on your behalf. Does that sound okay?
Yes, yeah.
Perfect, okay.
Is this like a no-win, no-fee type thing, or what is it? Is it,
it certainly is. It's no-win, no-fee, but I'll explain all that to you very shortly. Yeah,
no problem.
Okay, sir. So your name has come through here, I'm guessing possibly as maybe like your company on Facebook of Prime Hydration.
Yeah, that's just my page. That's just my Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, am I able to grab your name, please?
My name's John Scott. Yeah, it says Prime Hydration by John Scott on it, but my name's John Scott.
Okay. So, and any middle names at all?
No.
No. Okay. And then, yeah, I do have your email address here as John Scott. 200988@gmail.com.
It's just John Scott, and then it's my date of birth, the 20/20/0988@gmail.com. Yeah.
Okay, well, that was going to be my next question, what your date of birth was, but that's absolutely perfect.
yeah. So it's better than having the one I had before. I had to make it a bit more professional, eh? Because ones I had before when I was younger. Some of them are outrageous, but I had to get one a bit more professional, and that was the only one I could get. So,
fair enough. Okay, John. And what's your current address, please?
It's 24 Affleck Rise, Waterford, and that's AFFLECK, then RISE, Affleck Rise, Waterford.
Yep. Is that in Musselburgh?
No, it's in Waterford. It's EH218EN. It comes down as Waterford, Musselburgh, so Musselburgh, Waterford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
East
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've got that here for you. Don't worry. Okay, I'm just popping that into my system now. Just bear with me. Okay. Okay, and for your account, John, would you like to set up a password with ourselves? So if anybody else tries to contact you and falsely say that, you know, you've spoken to them or anything like that, you know, you did have to put in this password.
Just put a password, yeah. I'll just put my mum's maiden name.
Yep, and what is that?
King.
King.
Yeah, KING.
Perfect, okay. So that's been set up for yourself. So moving forward, after this phone call, if we were to ever contact you, we need to confirm data protection, which would be your address and your date of birth. And then after following that, we will then confirm that password with you so you know it's ourselves.
That's perfect, yeah.
Okay, and then in terms of the communication preferences with yourself, John, are we okay to send you an email and a text as well as give you a call?
Yes, of course, yeah. But see what the best thing for, to, because sometimes, see if I got a phone call from a number that I don't know, then
yep.
Like if it comes up paying referral number or something like that, like sometimes I don't actually, obviously, like because I've got like complex PTSD, eh?
Yeah.
So like I panic, eh? And I sometimes I won't answer, sometimes I will, sometimes I won't.
Yeah.
And I just get paranoid, eh? Due to obviously past experiences and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
No,
of
yeah.
course. Well, just for your own reassurance then, obviously, once we jump off this phone call, save our number, so then you'll know it will always be ourselves giving you a call. And even if, obviously, it comes to terms where, you know, on the day you don't feel like talking over the phone, we'll always send you a text and an email to follow up that you've missed a call from us. You can always reply back to the email and just say, I'm not feeling
it. Yeah, even if I text, mate, if I got a text, then, like, obviously, then I'll know. Then, so, like, call or text, I'll save the numbers, you know what I mean? So I'll know what to use anyway, so.
Yeah, perfect. The only thing is, with our text messaging services, we do use our database, so we can send out the texts, but you just can't reply to it. So it's one of them, like, non-reply.
Yeah, and I think you just call back. I'll just call you if I was to get a text or...
Yeah, well, you can either, as I said, you can either call us if you're feeling up for it. If you're not, just go onto your emails and you'll see an email from us anyway, and you can just reply back and just say, I'm not feeling myself today. Do you mind emailing me instead? And that'll be completely fine. Obviously, we'll work around you, okay?
Yeah, that's perfect, mate.
Okay. So, John, is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of at all?
No terminal, no.
Okay, perfect. And would you like to add a beneficiary to your application?
No. What do you mean, like, somebody in case, like, in case I die or something?
Yeah, it's obviously, you don't have to. It's not mandatory or anything, but obviously, yeah, it's just in case anything was to happen to you during this application process. You know, if you are awarded an amount from the scheme, if you do pass, then you've nominated a person for them funds to go to.
Yeah, I think everything will be okay.
Okay, that's absolutely fine. Okay, and what was your address before being placed into care, John?
Oh, before I was placed into care, but I'm 37 now, so, like, trying to think of that.
If you can't remember the address, it's completely fine. Can you remember the town that you lived in, maybe?
Well, before I got put into care, I was staying in Gorebridge.
Coatbridge.
Gorebridge, 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 Midlothian.
Okay, that's not a problem. Okay, and what's the name of the GP surgery that you currently register, please?
The GP, it's at Riverside Medical Practice, Musselburgh.
Yeah, I've got that one there. Okay, perfect. Okay, and am I able to grab the names of your mother and father, please?
Well, my mother passed away. Does that matter? No.
No, it doesn't matter. I am sorry to hear that.
My mother's name is Mary. Like, and you want a maiden name? My mother's maiden name.
Yep, so the surname before she got married and her maiden name as well, please.
Yeah, well, the name before she got married would be Mary King.
Yep.
And then she got married, but she was divorced, but she's still, like, so it's just Mary King, to be honest, because she was divorced and stuff, but she still just used the name, kind of like just for male and stuff, but Mary King.
Okay. That's fine. And then the name of your father, if it's no?
His name's John Ramsay Henry Scott.
John Ramsay Henry Scott. Okay, perfect. And was you known by any of the names during your time in care?
He's John Scott.
Just John Scott, okay. So
Right.
that name's not been changed by legally by deed, poll, or marriage?
Nothing at all, no.
No, nope. Okay, not a problem. Thank you very much for that information. Okay, John, so I do appreciate that discussing experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting, but please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and so you've made me aware that you suffer from complex PTSD. Is there any other vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of at all?
I've got complex PTSD. I've got a form of brain damage. I got stabbed in the left leg years ago, and basically it's my legs. Like I've got basically trouble with my left leg. Depression and anxiety, and panic attacks, which I think is all due to my past experiences.
Yeah. Okay, not a problem. Okay, I'm just making a note of that, and what you said earlier about obviously your complex PTSD, just so obviously when, if it's not myself, if anybody else does try and ring you, just obviously you have to follow up with an email and a text, just so obviously, make you aware as well. So I just made a note of that. So thank you for sharing them mental health issues with me. Obviously, we're here to support and go at your pace. Okay. All right, John. So the purpose of today's call. I'll explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you and the options that you have around the scheme. I'll also explain how INS Law operates on your behalf and discuss our funding and fees. And then what I'll do is I'll gather the initial information to assess on whether we may be able to assist you. Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us. But the three options that you are entitled to is that option one, you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two, you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. So regardless of whether you are successful or not with that application, them solicitors or law firms will still receive that £2,000. INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us being option three, you will be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. At this stage, John, can you just confirm whether you have instructed any other law firms to represent you at all?
No, I've not. That's just me. It's called use.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
It. This is only me. It's done this. There's nobody else involved.
Yeah, no, of course. No, normally it's some people obviously they see our ads in regards to the redress scheme, but that you know they sometimes apply for a few. So then obviously it just depends on whether you know you've signed up to another law firm or anything like that. But obviously you just told me you haven't, so that's fine. Okay, so our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. What that means for yourself is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either.
Right.
If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would only consist of basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment. So you'll never pay anything. You'll never pay more than the agreed cap of 19.2%. Okay. So it is important that I make it clear that we cannot guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award that the scheme may award you. But the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain in greater detail during this call for you.
Right.
Okay, so if instructed, we can assist with whether you're eligible to apply to the scheme. We will gather and review the evidence and prepare and submit the application. We have the full correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme, so we'll always advise you on any offers made further down in the process. And then we'll explain the statutory waiver to you if an award is offered whilst offering any assistance with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme.
Yeah.
Okay, so what that statutory waiver is for yourself, John, is basically if a redress offer is made, we'll always explain the waiver to you before you decide whether to accept anything. But it is important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to these matters.
Yeah.
But so you'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Yeah.
Okay. Alongside all of that, John, you do have a right to cancel. So if you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst them cancellation rights still remain. So if that is the case, John, and you do sign our documents, would you like us to start work immediately on your case?
Yeah.
Yep, we can do that for you. That's not a problem. Okay, and so we're able to formally act for you. We will require proof of identity for verification purposes and also to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. So therefore, we will need a copy of photo ID and proof of address data within the last 3 months. So that can be a driver's license, a passport, or a birth certificate. And then, yeah, just alongside a proof of address data within the last 3 months of today's date.
Yeah, and so how would I actually show you proof of my ID? I've got my passport, which is a photographic ID. I've got my bus pass, which is but I don't know if that's actually... As a Scottish, if you get the national entitlement cards when you're disabled.
Yeah.
Disabled as well, so.
Yeah. Well, the passport's fine. And then just any letters that you have dated within the last 3 months, that can be even a council tax bill, any utility bills, phone bills, a bank statement, anything.
Any official letter that's came to my address in the past 3 months,
yeah, that's literally it, yeah. So just touching on that, do you use WhatsApp at all? Okay, so we've got a WhatsApp messaging service as well, so what I'll do following this phone call is I'll send you a message on the WhatsApp, and obviously to make life easy for yourself, save sending it over email. You can just reply back with just pictures of your, a picture of your passport and a picture of that letter, just making sure that all four corners are showing, so we can verify that letter and passport for you.
So you just, on WhatsApp, so I can just send you that on WhatsApp?
Yeah, you can just send it over and I'll upload it.
I'm not really good with technology, but I can do WhatsApp, I can send pictures and stuff on WhatsApp.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason why we created that messaging service anyway, because obviously, it can be, difficult sometimes to try and attach an image on an email and, it does get a bit tech savvy. I use WhatsApp myself and it's just pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'll do now, John, is I'll just touch base with obviously your care settings, but obviously to remind you, the four types of abuse that we're looking for is neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just go to your care settings. So can you name me the first care setting that you was placed in, please?
Well, it was actually, it was like a foster home, a house. Okay, foster care.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and that was in Preston Pans.
Okay, do you know what council that's under?
East Lothian Council.
East Lothian, okay, got that, perfect. Okay, and what year was you placed into that foster home?
That's something that...
Can you remember how old you was?
I was in first year at school, so... Yeah, I was first year at school, so 13.
13. Okay. 1988.
Yeah, 1988.
98. So about 2001.
Yeah, I can remember being in care in the millennium. So I was in foster care in 2000. I can remember that.
2000. Okay. And how long was you in that foster home for?
Yeah, I was there for 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, and then after that foster care, where was you then placed?
Then I got back with my mother. I got back to see my mum.
Yeah, okay, so then was you then put back into the care system, was you?
No, I wasn't put back into the care system after that. I was just the 2 years I spent in there, and
yeah.
Then I went home and stayed with my mother, and then... It was just after that, because it came up about prison as well.
Yeah.
Didn't know if that's anything, yeah, or is it just a care one will do, or what?
Well, obviously, yeah, just looking at the dates, obviously, we've got foster care up until 2002. Then, obviously, you're saying you went back to see your mum, your mother's care.
Yeah.
Obviously, then, if you've gone into prisons after the 1st of December 2004, then unfortunately I won't be able to add any other care setting, obviously because that's then after the 2004 deadline.
So the prison side doesn't matter then.
Yeah, if it was obviously a couple of years earlier, we could have included it, no problem. But obviously, yeah, if that does fall after the 2004, unfortunately, we won't be able to put it as part of the application.
No, that's after, because I was 16 when I was first in prison.
Ah, okay, fair enough. Okay. Okay. So with the foster care,
yeah.
Just talk to me about that time in foster care for you. What was that like? All I'm going to do here is I'm just going to type up a little bit of a brief statement. You are going to get a second chance to go into a lot more greater detail in regards to, you know, how it affected you then as well, alongside how it may affect you now and obviously the long lasting effects it's had, you know, playing with your mental health. But for me in this moment in time, all I want to do is I'm just going to dive into your experiences from what you can remember or what you'd like to share, just so the scheme can recognise that you have suffered forms of abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, basically, just obviously being away from my family, like, that's one thing anyway. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, you know what I mean? But that's part of being in foster care. But yeah, it was just like the way you got treated and stuff like that, Ken. It was just like you were there only there because they were wanting a paycheck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the two foster guy and the foster woman, and it was just he was in the army and stuff, and kind of like in the mornings he would come and kick your bed in the morning and see you wake you up and stuff.
Yeah.
And I kept doing something, but that does affect you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the man sleeping and getting your bed kicked to waking you up. Kind of like them kicking the mattress. And sometimes if your head was at the bit where you kicked, then you were getting kicked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so would he just kick your bed, or would he physically kick you as well?
No, it wasn't like kicking my bed. I can't say for 100% that he's meant to kick me, because
yeah.
I can't say that, because it was every single morning you got woke up. It wasn't just wake up. He would come in and actually kick your bed.
Yeah.
Kick the mattress, and if there was any bit there, then it was getting kicked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's, I see that as a form of abuse anyway. Like, that's not right. That shouldn't be happening anyway. And I've walked
Yeah.
home.
Yeah. Okay, and then in terms of let's just say, punishments or discipline from the mum or the dad of the foster, the foster parents,
Yeah.
what was that like for you?
Yeah, well, like the punishments were basically like, you stuff you wouldn't get punished for, and then kind of basically, if I did it, you didn't, if I couldn't eat my full dinner, then I would be grounded, like I wouldn't be able to do
Yeah.
it outside, kind of like stuff like that, or I would have like my pocket money deducted out and all that sort of stuff. If I didn't like the food that was made, like I had to eat it. If I didn't eat it, and you still have to ask to leave the table, and like I would ask, and I'd be like, I can't eat it. I didn't like it. Like,
Yeah.
and it's physically hurt. Like I was, or I wouldn't get to leave the table until it was eaten. So, kind of be physically. Like, I'm gonna hold down me being sick, do you know what I mean? Because I didn't like the food. Know what I
Yeah.
mean? That wasn't every single day, know what I mean? But it happened more times than it didn't happen.
Okay. And did you suffer any physical abuse in this foster care?
No, I didn't get hit or anything like
Okay.
that. Like I didn't like it. It wasn't like apart from like getting the bed getting kicked in the mornings,
Yeah.
like that. Like that was the sort of thing. But like I didn't get like I wasn't like hit. Like she, like. If you know what I mean, like it wasn't like I was getting hit or stuff all the time, you know what I mean? But like it was more mentally, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was more mental abuse than physical, apart from the bed situation, getting the bed kicked.
Okay, and in terms of, let's say, clothing or being bathed in hygienic ways, was that all okay for yourself?
Well, the clothing was basically like when you're in foster care, like you get like every month it's a certain amount of money you're supposed to get for a thing for clothing. But basically, like I've only found this out recently. Like basically, like I should have had a say in what clothes that I got, but it was basically what they wanted to me to wear.
Yeah.
It was like. Again, it was all the cheapest of the cheapest clothing, you know what I mean? Like charity shop clothing and stuff. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? When they actually got money for like clothing that it was supposed to be bought from the shop. It wasn't like charity shop clothing, it was not meant to be.
Okay. So it had an effect on you then of obviously taking away your self-esteem more,
Because it was
yeah.
like the clothes and was like some of the stuff was like too wee for me, and you know what I mean? It was just basically the cheapest way they could get around it, around looking after me was the, you know what I mean? They would do it. It was
Yeah.
just like they could keep as much as they possibly could, you know what I mean? That's what I mean. It was like more, they were more than it, just for money, they weren't in it for anything else.
Yeah.
Came for the proper reasons of what foster care are supposed to be there about love and affection, like helping, obviously, because you didn't get put in foster care for no reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
and like, none of that helped, again, like, basically walking about with, again, like, I would have been better off wearing the stuff like I had when I didn't have anything, no more. I was having to walk about wearing, again, like, trousers that was too small for days, and again, stuff like that, which I ended up getting bullied for years, like, after, again, like, even after that.
Yeah.
And I got bullied at school and stuff all because of this.
Okay, perfect. Okay. John, just two more questions I'm gonna ask you as well. Have you ever received any relevant payments from, say, criminal entities compensation for the abuse that you've suffered in care?
No, I've never received anything at all.
Okay. And just in regards to your convictions,
Yeah.
have you spent 5 or more years in prison for a single offence?
Not for a single offence, no.
No, okay. So have you ever been charged with murder, attempted murder, rape, sexual assault?
No.
Anything like that? No.
Nothing like that, no. Just, it's only real, it's been like just fighting and stuff like that. Like no any sexual crimes or anything like that.
Yeah, okay.
Like just yeah, just fighting and breaches of the peace and again stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
Nah, not
Okay.
any crimes at all.
Yeah, no, of course. Okay, John, so there's two types of payments that we can go for here. There's a fixed payment of £10,000, and that's just a fixed amount of an award, regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. But there's an individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed independent panel based on the level of abuse that you have suffered. So that independent panel, it's a panel of 3 members. What they do is they look at your case or story. They'll look at our supporting evidence, your witness statement that we'll get off you at a later date as well. And obviously, as I said, the supporting evidence, i.e., obviously the long lasting effects of what, these care settings have had on you. I'm going to put you forward for the individually assessed payments of up to £100,000, as I feel as this case is worth more than £10,000 alone. It may not seem like much, during your time in foster care, but from what you've told me, obviously, and the long-lasting effects of what care has done to you, can play a massive factor, obviously, because it's still impacting you today. So yeah, I'm gonna put you forward for that, okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
That's not a problem. So what I'm gonna send out to you, John, is gonna be in an email, but also it comes as a link and a text as well. So there's going to be a client care letter, which is just basically a hi and welcome. This is who we are and what we're going to do for you. The conditional fee agreement, which is basically just breaks down our percentage for you, and reiterates what we'll take at the end of the process, which
Yeah.
again is a capped percentage of 19.2%. There's also a letter of authority to sign as well, which is basically you're just giving us the right to act on your behalf and obtain all the relevant records required so we can strengthen your case the best that we can. And then also alongside the part one and part two of your application, which will also have an additional attached document, which will just have that statement that I've just written up for you. Okay, so what I'll do if you want, John, is I can stay on the phone with you and send these out to you so you receive that link. And then obviously, whilst you've got me on the phone, if you obviously if you need any assistance or anything, I can guide you through. Would you like me to do that for you?
Yeah.
Yep, okay, just bear with me. I'll send this out to you now. Just let me know once you receive that text. I'm just about to send it now. You should get it in about 15 seconds.
Yeah, I've got the message.
Yep, okay, so click on that link for me.
Yeah, that's right. The reference one is it the HTTP one?
The HTTP one.
Yeah, now click on that. Clicked on that.
Yep, and it should bring up a e-signed document. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I think I just seen that. And now it's came up, John Scott.
Yeah, it's got your date of birth and everything in. So can you see the yellow box at the bottom that says four required fields left?
Yeah.
Yep, click on that box and it'll take you to the signature box that needs to sign.
Yeah, so that design.
Tap to sign and you can either draw your signature or where it says type, you can type your signature.
I just name that.
Yep, okay. And then click that blue apply
There
button.
we go. I've done it then. Apply, yeah.
Yep, so click that and it should take you off that screen and back to the documents. Then,
Yeah, back to the normalness, yeah.
yep, so then that yellow box should now say three required fields.
Yeah.
Yeah, click the yellow box again and it'll take you to the next signature box.
Yeah, that's the
So
same.
that's it. So just keep doing that until you're at zero.
I don't even know if they're all going to be the same thing as you like. Yeah,
That's okay. Near enough the same will do.
and it says 2 and I'll do it again.
Yep, just click that yellow box and it'll take you to the next one.
Yeah, that's the same. Right, one left. That's it. Right, go. And it says all fields complete.
Perfect. Now scroll right to the very bottom of the pages where you can't scroll no more. And then you
Yeah.
click that, tick that little tick box that it says "I confirm."
And yep.
Yep,
And
tick
then
that one,
turn the signature.
and then submit signature. Yeah.
Yep. Submitting it, yeah. Yep, and then it's coming up like all sorts of different things. Just as soon as you can put it in, it's saying LOA slash INS, and then verify. There's loads of things saying for it may verify.
That's okay, just bear with me.
It says your documents have been signed and recorded.
Yep, so they're all coming through now as they speak. Perfect, I've got all them. That's perfect, John. So what I'll do now for yourself is I'll send you a message on the WhatsApp. So you can
Yeah.
send over your proof of identity and address. Just reply back with them images. Once I've received them, I'll upload them to your case file. And then what I'll do for yourself now is I'll send this send your documents off, which will be
Yeah,
your app.
the things has got verified there. What do I do with all this?
No, that's all good. It's all been verified. It's all been checked. It'll probably just be taking a little bit longer than usual on your end. But everything's all been verified and come back to myself.
Okay.
So I'll review these documents now and then get your application sent off in order for us to obtain an application number on your behalf. That takes around about 2 to 3 weeks at the minute, with a little bit of a backlog that they've got. But once we receive a application number, we'll send you an email and a text just to let you know. And then we can then start submitting subject access requests in order to obtain records on your behalf as well.
Yeah,
So
just user will be checking. User will just check to see actually if I'm well, was enforced with care and stuff.
well, yeah, obviously, yeah, we'll get them care records, and it's not so much checking; it's more so, seeing if there's any evidence we can use,
Yeah.
for your time in care alongside obviously any medical records we can use for, say example, you're on current antidepressants, we can relate that to the long lasting effects of what
Well,
happened to
yeah.
you in care. And then yeah, so once all them records have come back in a few months, one of my team members who are part of the investigations team, they'll be in contact with you to inform you of that and then to book in when it'd be best to do a witness statement with yourself. And then once you've got that witness statement from you, that'll get signed by yourself as well once they're done with that. And then we'll be able to send the final submission to the panel and then wait for the panel date. So all in all, from now until the end should be it's around about 10 to 14 month process. But you know,
up to over the year.
What's that, sorry?
So it could be up to over the year before the Scotland.
Just around about a year, give or take. Yeah, the Scottish redress scheme themselves, they have got a backlog. They are recruiting for further panel members to try and reduce that backlog. But so we're obviously just given that timeline. So you know, you've got that kind of in mind. We'll be doing a lot of background work for you. So if you ever do or want an update, just feel free to give us a call. It's no problem at all. But yeah, if you don't hear from us, it's because we're working hard on your case. Okay.
Well,
all right, John. Any questions for me at all?
No. Just basically, I think just like you will let me know, obviously, what is going to happen with it. Like, obviously, like if so is it serious? Is it if you do take it on or you don't? I take it you're going to take it on then, yeah.
Yeah, we are going to take it on. We'll only advise you if we can't, if the Scottish Redress Scheme come back and say, unfortunately, you know, we don't recognise John's had, you know, any forms of abuse. But from what I've written up for yourself, they will recognise that and be able to apply an application number to you.
I'm actually on antidepressants and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From the doctor, so.
Yeah, so we'll always keep you up to date and we'll always inform you if anything is to change. But it shouldn't. From here now, as I said, we'll be doing a lot of background work on waiting for that application number to come back. And then once that's back, obviously you'll already be sending over your ID and proof of address. So you'll already be verified. And then we'll, you know, once we've got all that, we can then start obtaining records on your behalf as well.
So as soon as I get the WhatsApp from that, then I'll just get I'll send my passport and my photographic ID separate. Okay, I won't have them both in the same picture. I'll just do the passport one and then I'll send the other one with my address. Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah, that's perfect. I can do that. That's not a problem.
Okay, I'll send you that WhatsApp message over in the next 5 minutes or so. And then, yeah, just whenever you get the chance, get them documents back over to myself as soon as you can. And I'll get them uploaded straight to your file.
That's perfect.
Okay, no John, problem. Thank you very much for your call and your time today. I really do appreciate it. It's been lovely speaking to you. And I am only a phone call away if you need any questions answered, any queries, or you need someone to talk to, okay?
Okay, right. Thanks very much. I appreciate this.
Not a problem, sir. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you.
Bye now. Bye.